Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. So happy to be here another week. I just made it today. Actually made it into the studio really fast. Whoa. Today's going to be an awesome, awesome show. Typically, I'm much ahead of this. Oh, my gosh. Today's going to be so exciting. Randy and Monica Zachary are back to serving and loving life. They've always served. I can't say. They're just amazing people. And Randy and I have done the show together for many years, and then now he's going to be back. But we are going to spend time with Randy and Monica today, who are not only living their passion, but serving, teaching, and walking their talk. Randy's been in radio for over 30-plus-7 years in ministry. Monica and Randy have developed Marriage Workshop that has transformed many marriages and lives. They just moved back from Chicago, from outside of Chicago, hosting a daily show, giving up a lot of money to serve again and to pastor Lighthouse Assembly of God. I just can't wait to get into this today. This is going to be so much fun. They have 3 grown children, 1 small puppy, and the energy to continue their serving ventures, which are multiple. Real estate is certainly about moving. We're all moving in real estate. You buy, sell, move. Have you ever had times where you're called to something and just not sure you can do it? Or you want to do it, but you don't think you have the resources to do it? Or you're afraid to give up your security? Listen in. And without further ado, I want to welcome Monica and Randy Zachary. Hey.
Hey there.
Hey.
We are here.
So good to hear your voices. Oh, gosh.
It's awesome. Good to be back.
Good to hear yours, too.
Monica is in another room, so we're separated this hour. But she's in another room. Sounds like you're coming through okay, hun. So that's good.
Yeah.
And,
okay. Good.
I've noticed that with Blog Talk. Like if we're in the same room, it echoes more. You know, it's easier to separate, get in another room. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds
so we're
good.
Separated for now, but it's great to be back in California. It's great to be back. With you working on and, on the show, and we're excited about kind of, you know, where we're headed. The last couple of days, you and I have been doing some vision casting and dreaming and really just brainstorming how to improve the show, how to better serve the audience. And you've been at this 6 years. That's amazing to me. Wait a minute. Standing ovation. Hang on. We got to do this.
No.
Oh, stand up. Okay,
up. I think, you know what's so funny with all of us is years back, these visions were here, and now we're stepping into them full speed, and it's just amazing to watch that happen, you know, in life and how you can go full circle and we're still serving in the visions. Mm-hmm. You know, it's pretty amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, I remember Ryan, my son, and I were at a wasn't Mark Victor Hansen thing, I don't think, but it was some conference in L.A. or
Yeah, it was
County.
California. I think it was.
Yeah,
I
remember you came to our booth and started asking questions about, you know, podcasting and, you know, and stuff and explaining what you were doing. And then we just from there, you know, did the show together for, I don't know how many years, 2 or 3, I guess, off and on.
You know, I think that was back in like 2002 or 4. Maybe it definitely was. 2002 or 3 when we all met. And I remember you did a product for us back then.
Yeah.
Gosh, you and Monica, you've been in radio for years and years and years, right?
40. We celebrated actually 42 now. We were
amazing.
Well, last year it was 40, so 41. I can do the math. That's why I got in radio. The math thing never really worked out for me. But to be a realtor, you kind of have to do the math thing, though, right? You've got to be pretty good at that. So I know you are.
Just give a calculator. It's really simple math. That's really easy. It's pretty simple math.
Yeah, we're excited. We did leave a very comfortable, very well-paying kind of a network position on air at a Christian network near Chicago. And in some ways in the natural, at our age, it's kind of crazy. Like, what are you doing? You should be just putting money in the bank, man. It's retirement's right around the corner. And it's just weird when you're not doing, you know, what you're called to do. And I believe, and we've talked about this,
right.
I know you have many times on this show, passion and purpose and all that stuff. And, you know, sometimes something can still be a passion, but it's, you know, it's maybe not your purpose anymore. I think purposes, you know, kind of evolve at times in different seasons of life. I know for me, radio for a long time was both my passion and purpose. Some ways it still is because I'm helping, you know, people like you doing radio shows online, and I'm still doing voiceovers and stuff like that with the Maxwell team. So I'm still dabbling in it, but our primary focus is this little country church near Yosemite National Park in California, and we're just excited to be here. I've been here 3 days now sitting in the pastor's chair, and you know, there's
that's amazing.
There's already stuff coming up that you're like, what did I get myself into? But that's life, right? And there's a verse that came up today online that really is cool. It says John 14:1, don't let this throw you. You trust God, don't you? Trust me, Jesus talking. And then the question is, where am I letting a situation throw me? You know, and so, yeah, you can kind of go back always to the Bible, and there's always good stuff in there to help us get through, you know, what we need to get through. I'm talking a lot. I'm sorry. That's what I do. My wife is here with
me
as well.
No,
hi,
that's
honey.
What we want you to do. This is so exciting.
Yeah.
Because it's in the Bible, you know, there's so much. Everything we ever want to know is in there, you know. And I was looking in Ecclesiastes. I say that wrong. I don't know why. But and there's. I was looking at, do I close this or close that or do this? You know how you always. You know, it's easy to juggle some. It's not easy. It's hard to juggle so many things and business. And it was like I went. Sometimes I'll just open the Bible up and just say, take me wherever I need to go. And it was Ecclesiastes. I can't think of the exact verse. And it was about have multiple ventures because we don't know what fields are going to grow and what aren't going to grow. And it's right in the Bible about, you know, even though we
diversify,
all need focus,
yeah.
Like, isn't it amazing? It's just that it's every single thing is there. So tell us, Monica and Randy, how do you are doing the Daily Show outside of Chicago, and something was pulling on you to come and go to, you know, California. And I know your family's in California, but tell us what happened that brought you to Lighthouse Assembly of God, which I know without a shadow of a doubt, you're growing it because you've got, you know, it's absolute.
God's on the move. Honey, you want to kind of share a little bit?
Well, you know, Randy and I have always wanted and dreamed about pastoring a small mountain church. And, you know, radio just has always been there. It's always paid the bills. And, you know, this wife, she kind of looks around on the internet for different things here and there. And I just happened to see this church was looking for a pastor. And, you know, I showed it to Randy and I said, well, you know, I'm going to let you do whatever you want to do here. If you feel led to, you know, contact them, you know, if not, then not, that's fine. And so, Randy did, and he contacted them, and, you know, they said, well, why don't you come out? And so we just happened to be coming out anyway for to spend a week with our family here, and so we made that our first stop, and Randy preached on a Sunday, and we met the board, and 1, 2, 3, here we are. I mean, it was a total God thing, just the way that it happened. So we know that we're supposed to be here and that God is going to take care of all the rest.
Isn't that amazing? It's amazing when you know, and this God thing, God ideas, doesn't it seem to be that when that happens, there's a peace about it? There's like a...
Yeah.
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 Definitely a peace, and that's just to kind of circle back a little bit, so we're doing this afternoon show and enjoying it, and having ministry. I mean, you know, when we left, we got all kinds of really heartfelt emails and messages about how much, you know, we were able to minister to people, and it was very encouraging that we felt like we made a mark, if you will, on our listeners and what we were doing every day. Because radio is a weird thing, as you know. You don't get a lot of immediate feedback. You may have a lot of people listening,
right,
and they're either not calling in or they're not responding, and so you don't know. But it's like when we said we're leaving, we got just inundated with people talking about how much, you know, our afternoon show meant to them. So that was encouraging, but we were miserable. We were both miserable. I was miserable because I'm supposed to be pastoring Monica, really, I was just over the on-air radio DJ thing. And Monica was doing it just because she enjoys it, and I'm sorry, because she enjoys being with me, not it. And so she was.
Monica,
she was
you're
the
an
most.
Angel, you know that, right? You're an angel. Absolutely.
Thank you.
She is queen of the angels. I'm sure she's going to be.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So she just literally here she goes again. I'm dragging her to, you know, near Chicago, Illinois, to be on the radio, and she could care less about being on the radio. She's just, radio's not her thing, but she's always done it because she's very good at it. So she's also miserable, and for a lot of reasons. We have a baby grandson now and daughter out here, and new grandson on the way here in a couple months, and plus our other kids and her folks. So very much feeling the pull to California. So there's all these kind of parallel things going on in our hearts and minds and lives. And literally one day we were on the air talking, and I was sharing something out of the Bible, and some listener called, and she's talking to Monica, and she goes, while Randy was talking, I just kept hearing the word pastor very loudly. And
really?
I just want you to know, I feel like God's telling you guys that you're going to be pastors. This is weird, I know, but I said, I've taken steps toward that again, getting my ordination stuff renewed, and I'm actually officially a reverend again. So we're going to start looking, you know, and just trying to be obedient because we're feeling led back into that. And she goes, I just heard the Lord say, what are you waiting for? And I'm like, I don't know. So literally out of obedience, the following Tuesday, or the next morning, I guess, was, I got on the internet and called a couple places that Monica had seen, and somebody was there, and because it's a small church, the secretary's there once a week, and she happened to be there that morning. That was her 2 hours window. She was there.
There's
I caught
no
her.
Accident.
Yeah, she then gave me the number of the board president, and I talked to him literally for 10 minutes, very surface level, very introductory conversation. I hung up the phone. I called Monica and I said, we're moving to Coarse Gold. I just knew it. I just knew it.
Oh, my God.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just like you say, and then the peace followed when we went and visited and preached, and it kind of felt like we'd been there already, you know? And and so here we are, and just excited about, again, being face-to-face with people. We always did radio so that we could get face-to-face with people. That's just, and now we get to be, and it's a small mountain town like we've always wanted to be in, and we're 20 minutes from the gates, southern gates of Yosemite National Park, which is beautiful, and, we're going to be exploring, and, so anyway, that's kind of what we're doing, and Monica has been, as you said, an angel, on multiple levels. And if anybody knows our story, by the way, we can send you a ebook version of our story if you'd like to. And you can, I guess you can email us at randyandmonica.com. If you're listening to this either live or on demand, it's us@randyandmonica.com. And we'd be happy to send you, because we were hopeless. God healed our marriage. And that's why if you know our story, you know what I put Monica through early on. And then through the years.
That was a different Randy. Randy and Monica, is it Randy A-N-D or A, the ampersand?
Randy and Monica.
Randy and A-N-D.
Yeah, Randy and A-N-D, Monica. Us at randyandmonica.com, yeah.
Okay, perfect.
So, yeah.
Go ahead, I didn't mean to interrupt in just a second.
No, that's...
That's awesome.
That's cool, yeah.
Well, but, you know, the vision that you two had of pastoring a church in mountain towns, et cetera, and it's happened, isn't it amazing how God gives us a vision, in our heart there's serving and there's things we know we're supposed to do, and it could take 10 years, 20 years, I mean, with Moses, well, 40 years, there's different reasons for that, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that incredible when you have that peaceful vision? And I think all of us are given the gifts. We're each given different gifts, and we kind of know a lot of it when we're younger too. And that's just amazing to now be here and be there, and that gives you a lot of peace, doesn't it, in a way, rather than feeling nervous or is this the right move or the wrong move. It's like you know this is the right move.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think humans, we go in and out of all those emotions. So what did I do? What am I doing here? I can't do this, you know, when something comes up.
Right.
And I always have to go back to the peace that I know that God in this and that he's called us here. I have to keep reminding myself when I start to get anxious or worried, you know, know that this is where God has planted us and that he's going to take care of all that other stuff. I just need to be obedient to what he's called me to, and then he takes care of all that other stuff. Will it be hard? Absolutely. There will be very tough times, but God is in it and he will take care of all the other stuff. I just have to keep reminding myself about that.
Mm.
You know, and absolutely. I mean, it's no doubt about it. And I know with Realty Universal, it was a Realty Excellence I was going for in the mid 90s. And Richard Rector with Realty Executives had the name. And this is back in the day where you couldn't look at things on the computer in 10 seconds. This was when you had to pay an attorney $800 just to do a search. And Realty Excellence was the name I was looking for, and Richard Rector had it for a tagline. I had called him and found that he was the founder of Realty Executives, and I said, would you be willing to sell that, because they were using it, and he says, no, we're using it for brochures or whatever. And then he tried to talk me into, of course, joining Realty Executives, and when he told me a little bit about it, I said, that's just like Remax, and he goes, well, he said Dave Liniger worked for us in the late 60s, and then he took our idea, and then look what he did with it, right? And this was back in the 90s, and it was like, wow. So I kept praying and praying, what name should I use? I don't mean to divert, but it's just their point here. What name do I use and take? And one of my friends drove down to Crystal City, where the trademark office used to be. It's still in Virginia, but it's across the way now, not in Crystal City. And we were pulling out drawers, because that's how you had to look for your trademark registrations back then. They were in drawers, literally, and we're pulling them out, and I'm trying to come up with other names or whatever, and I wasn't sure. And I was out of a dead sleep one night, 3 o'clock in the morning, I just sat straight up, and it came out, Realty Universal. And I looked up and went, what? That's backwards. But because I knew where it came from, not how I knew it, mm-hmm. I knew I had to trust it.
Yeah,
and those are isn't that things that happen to us? I think when we do pray and get in our spirit and soul and really believe, because so many people don't believe and they don't know, and maybe they hear things, but they are inside, you know. So I'm just diverting there, because that's kind of what's kept me on the Realty Universal. Not and other things have happened that when I'm like going, oh, maybe not, maybe it's too much, maybe not. This is I can't do it, and then I go, wait a minute, this was something God wanted me to do. And it wasn't about selling houses, if that makes sense. You know, it's more of the vehicle. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to mention that, because when you're talking about the cabin, preaching and the words and everything and knowing y'all, and it's like, it's oh my gosh, it's right there. And it's so, and you, Monica, saying you're not worried because you know God, this was God's plan. I just wanted to throw that in for our listeners, because you know, many people that don't know and never been there and haven't gotten into the Bible and haven't gotten into the Word and are on a roller coaster all the time, which I think life can be a roller coaster, though, no matter what you learn. But it gives us the peace, right? It teaches us the peace when we pull, when we go, wow, wait a minute. And so.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And it's you're right. When you know it's from God, you know, you can really anchor your heart and soul in that. And then, you know, whatever comes, comes. And been reading a book by Dr. Bill Gaultier. He's a Christian kind of psychotherapist author guy. And Your Best Life in Jesus, Easy Yoke. And he talks about how the idea of resting, a lifestyle of rest and being at peace is really can happen. I mean, in our society, it seems like it's virtually impossible. But when you have a deep, deep knowing, you know, who it is that walks beside you every day, when you get that deep, deep knowing, and sometimes that's a lifelong journey to really get that, you know. And I feel like at age 60, I'm getting to a place where that deep knowing is there. And you can then relax.
We get wise when we're older, right?
Yeah, you know?
When you're younger,
you have all these great ideas, but then, yeah.
Maybe because we go through the experiences and then we can go and we can see God's hand on it, and then we start to go, wow, that wasn't an accident. That wasn't an accident. That was an accident. Wow, wow, wow. Maybe that's where the age comes in and the wisdom. I don't know. Because we try to tell a 20-year-old, and they're like, look at us like we have three heads. Not all. I mean, I'm just saying, many young ones, you know. And I know when you're younger, you kind of go like, okay, sure, you know. But then later you go, don't tell. Because I always say it's God, not me. Monica, well, and Randy, your marriage, you've created a marriage program, and you've helped so many couples with their marriages. And did you just know to do it and that you could help people? Because that's something you still do now, if you could tell us a little bit about.
Yeah. Go ahead, hon.
Well, you know, when Randy first pulled me into this whole radio thing, I just dug in my feet. I wanted nothing to do with it. This was his baby, the on-air. I run the office. I make sure, you know, I'm taking care of all the clients, sending out all the bills, making sure Randy makes his appointments, all of that stuff. And, you know, when he pulled me in, I just did not want to do this radio thing. And it was just, you know, I mean, I like to talk, but I had never done on-air, you know, radio before. And so as Randy and I began that journey and I started doing the show with him, we were also in the middle of weekly counseling with a counselor helping us sort out, sort through, process all of our marriage stuff and our individual issues. And so in the middle of going to counseling, we just kind of started talking about this on air. And that is really that is how our marriage ministry really got birthed, was we would just talk about our counseling sessions and what we had talked about and what we're going through, and just learning how to communicate with each other. Randy and I didn't even know how to do that. You know, I would just get so angry and frustrated with him, and I would leave the room. You know, I just did not know. That's how I grew up, you know, and Randy would get really frustrated with me, and we would just be at opposite ends of the house. And, you know, 2 days later, we would start to talk to each other again, and everything just kind of got swept under the rug. It never got dealt with. And so that is really how our marriage history began, us just sharing honestly and openly on the air what we were happened to be going through that week. And so then, you know, once we started getting some healing in our hearts, boy, things really started to take off. And then we started any marriage event, conference that we could get to, we would go to. And we would take, sometimes we would take little nuggets away, and sometimes we would take huge nuggets away. And in that, we just started being able to speak at different marriage events or host a marriage event and just pour into couples the things that we had learned that were so valuable on having handles and tools to give to couples. You know, for me, that was just huge. I had no handles. I had no tools. I didn't know how to do all those things because for me, there is a right way to do things and there is a wrong way to do things. And I wanted to learn how to do things right and how to, you know, make it work. And there are tools to help you communicate, to help you process a lot of the things that most couples go through in their marriage. And how do you, you know, stick it out when you're, you know, spouse has been unfaithful. I had to learn all that stuff. And it just, you know, I learned, you know, so many great things to help me. And that is really how our marriage ministry was birthed.
Wow. So you were able to see the tools and then, and it worked and then, wow, then share it. That's,
Yeah, it was in process. We were just a process of, you know, sharing what we're learning on the radio. And then as we did that, we realized so many people, so many marriages really need help. And a lot of times it seems like you listen to a marriage expert on the radio or whatever, and you're like, oh, I could never be that person. But when you share from a place of, man, we really screwed up and still are, all of a sudden, you know, people feel like, oh, okay, so they've been through it and they've gotten better at, you know, at this crazy little thing called love, and yet they're still making mistakes. Well, that's cool. I can, you know, with this person, I can relate, and it's like I'm not intimidated and I think sometimes that happens with people. So, yeah, it's just been a process of, we like to say the place of our greatest pain become the place of our greatest victory, because we were two adult children of alcoholics, you know, attracted to each other, which tends to happen for whatever reason. And then, let the chaos begin, you know, and it was chaotic. First 10 years of our marriage was miserable. We were just miserable. And, you know, there came a point where Monica filed for divorce. We were done. We hated each other, you know.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, and then God.
How many years have you been married now? It's been a long time, right?
Yep, it has been a long time.
36.
You just said, how many did you say? 30? No, you were saying 42 in radio. I was going to say, you're not old
42
enough.
42 in radio, 36 in marriage.
That's
I
a
got
long
it right.
time.
You got
are
it.
Right. You are right, honey. I am wrong.
Wow. History
wow.
in the making. Monica was wrong.
Usually,
the
man's wrong or doesn't know, huh? But the,
wow.
the that is just beautiful. It's just so beautiful, and you've got oh gosh. And how do people find out about we just gave this a site before. They can actually just sign up or find out about the workshops as well if you're doing them, because I'm sure right now you have to pull back a little bit. But can they get in and look for that? Okay.
Yeah, randyandmonica.com is our website, and it has kind of what we do and how we do it and where we do it. We're actually working on a consultant. One of the cool things from our time in Illinois at this network is the consultant for the station has a division really of his business where he does just amazing membership / subscription websites. And he himself has one that's super successful, and he spent, I don't know what he said now, $20,000 on, you know, on software and, you know, going to classes and online stuff to learn it. So he's going to help us and actually build a website for us that's a subscription kind of membership / based model where, you know, we've always wanted that, but it's always too expensive to even dream about doing something like that. And he has a kind of a business model with the websites where he helps, you know, certain people and ministries and stuff where he doesn't ask for anything up front, but he just asks for a percentage, you know, of sales from the website. So It's a dream come true, and we're working on that right now. We're actually scripting out all of our Live, Laugh, Love seminars.
Fantastic.
We're scripting it out, and then we're going to go to – he actually wants to come up here because he loves Yosemite, but he's down in Del Mar near San Diego, which is beautiful. So either way, we're going to get together, and they're going to film – we're going to do these video I think, you know, you and I would call them products, right? These
mm-hmm.
video modules online
right.
where people can subscribe
fantastic.
And buy these so that, you know, and as you know, because you can't be at every church in America, so a way
no.
for people to, you know, get the material is to buy it online. And then, you know, so anyway, we're working on that. So they're definitely pulling back right now because, you know, we're knee-deep in hoopla getting used to the new new situation with the church, but the marriage ministry is going to be a big part of our outreach because in this community, we've seen really a model that is amazing where you, you promote these maybe 4 to 6 week marriage classes on communication, but they're not like overtly Christian Bible thumping. They're just, you know,
uh-huh.
y'all come, and it's communication skills. And then, of course, as Christ followers, as we get to know the couples and talk to them around the tables, obviously going to get to share our faith. And, you know, so it's kind of an outreach idea that really we've seen be modeled and really work well because you're meeting a felt need of couples, young or old, which is to, you know, be better communicators. And and so we're looking forward to that. Monica and I were involved with that in Fresno with the Healthy Marriage Coalition, and we learned, you know, how to do that. So we're going to kind of implement that as a way to outreach into the community and could actually do some of those online as well. But and one of them is, Monica, you know, we talk about, I mean, what are some examples, hon, of communication issues? I mean, just to give one or two or three where couples, like, just little tweaks in the way they approach communication makes all the difference.
You know, it does. And one of the huge things, you know, that I learned was the way that I said things in my tone of voice or in my body language would speak more to Randy than what was really coming out of my mouth. And so I really had to watch the tone that I used with him, and I had to stop pointing my finger at him, blaming him. Yeah, you know, I mean, I have my own issues, you know, and marriage takes two. It wasn't always Randy's fault for everything. I wanted to believe that, of course, but I'm a right fighter. I learned I'm a right fighter. I got to be right all the time, and marriage doesn't work that way, you know, and, we're selfish human beings. And when selfishness, you know, comes into the marriage, you know, it's all about me. What can you give me?
Mm.
You know, and that just does not work. And I found that when I give of myself to Randy, and I lay down my life and I want to serve him, oh my gosh, things just took a turn in a way that I least expected. And when I serve Randy, and you know, and I'm not talking about, you know, serve in the way of, I do all the dishes, I clean the whole house, I do all of his laundry, you know, that. But when I come under him and I say, how can I make your day better today? Or what is it that I can help you with? Or how can I pray for you? Those are such little things and tweaks that will totally turn a marriage in the opposite direction.
Yeah. Little things, man.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, communication, you know, they say, well, they always say, what's the book John Gray wrote, what men are from
Mars,
women are from Venus, and men are from Mars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know that they say that, like, women, I mean, I know me personally, but I know a lot of women that are this way, that we just want to vent a lot of times if something's bothering us, or maybe we just want to talk about all these different things we did, and we're just kind of venting and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We really don't want any answers to our venting. We just want you to listen. And a lot of times men think that men have to have the answer, and it's like, oh, my gosh, you're asking me all those questions. What are you doing? No, I'm just venting. I mean, is that a problem a lot? I mean, I just think that there is a difference there. How do you handle that? Are women supposed to be quiet and not be able to vent, or do they just have to vent with girlfriends? I don't know.
You know what? Randy has learned he can't fix everything. Men are fixers. That is part of what drives them, is when they see the person they love hurt or angry or whatever it is, they want to fix it. And I just want to know that he's listening to me and that he understands what I'm feeling and going through. I know he can't fix everything, but that he is there for me, holding me, letting me sob. Sometimes that's all I need and that's all I want. I know that he won't be able to fix it, but that he's in it with me, supporting me and loving me through it is the most important thing to me.
And
you used
right? Because go ahead.
You used, Natalie, the word vent, which, you know, that word to me, that kind of conjures up, like, you know, there's some anger, there's some stuff that just needs to be talked out because there's a frustration, and so we've got to vent. That goes to something that we always say, man, that we like to keep short lists. So, in other words, and the Bible, here we go again, has the answers where the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You know, the idea of keeping short lists. Don't be in, and in relationships, whether it's marriage or work or family, or, you know, that's important. And so if there's, like, at the end of the day, man, if there's stuff that's needs to be talked about, it needs to be talked about. But the challenge is most women kind of, and I'll just say this from the dude's perspective, and you two can beat up on me if you want. But here's the way it goes. A guy comes home from work, and he's tired. And you know, the wife's been home thinking about bills, thinking about stuff he hasn't done that he said he would do. So now she needs to vent, if you will. And so he's coming home, and he's tired, and he kind of just wants, you know, a cold beverage and a remote for a few minutes, you know. And, you know, he's met at the door or the kitchen by this kind of avalanche of venting. And dudes will mostly do one of two things. No, it's funny if it wasn't so kind of typical. But so a guy will do one of two things. You know, he'll that's called being overloaded. And so he'll kind of withdraw, like, okay, screw this. I'm going to go watch TV and drink a beer. You know, I'm just – and just then just totally tune out, which is making it worse for the gal, right? The way, honestly, it's the approach, man. And Monica has come up with this thing of, like, you know, asking me, for instance, is this a good time to really talk? I have something I really need to share with you. Is this a good time? And that way, like, if it isn't a good time, the guy can say that with the promise
that's a good idea.
You'll revisit it. So it's like, you know what, I just got home from work and I really have had a rough day, and could I have 20 minutes to watch some news, just relax, and then could we visit this at 6:30, you know? And that it just, you know, little things like that help, but you're right. There's a need to vent, and there's
the vent part that I was meaning, you know, and I've been divorced for a lot of years, and of course I would marry again if I found the right person, but the vent part I was meaning wasn't necessarily vent about something their spouse did, just vent in general. You know how that's like you want to just tell, oh, this happened, da-da-da-da, you know, and just vent, but not really, is that bad? Because then people kind of want to have a place to talk to their partner, right? If, I mean, I don't know.
No. Yeah, no, it is not a bad thing. And believe me, Randy lets me vent all the time, you know, about something
okay.
that just happened in my day or that phone call that I got or do you know what our kids did? Oh, my goodness. You know,
right.
Randy is very good about just letting me get it out and then going, okay, you know, if there is a way where he can help fix it, he will help. If there's no fix it right in that moment, he will just look at me, take my hand and say, I love you, honey. We're going to get through this somehow. We have before. We will, you know. And
right.
Then, you know, then I can just take that deep breath and go, oh, okay, he totally gets me and understands what I'm feeling and going through. And that is really
That's
the
important
part. Yeah,
you should do a workshop on dating before they get to the marriage. because it's like it's confusing if you haven't dated for a long time. You know, I mean, not confusing so much in the fact of people. I don't know. It's just but that's fantastic. It's all about communication, isn't it? It's really being able to communicate, and we assume because we speak the same language, you know, grammar language, that we can communicate, and that's not the case all the time, is it?
Right. That's right. So, and men and women are just wired differently. You know, I am the complete opposite of Randy in just about every way when it comes to, you know, how I do things, how I cook, how I eat, how I think,
wow.
you know, the should be set for our kids. And so we had to really learn how to navigate and find a balance and a medium that worked for us. And, you know, what worked for us isn't necessarily going to work for the couple next door, you know, but it did
right.
work for us. And you just need to find it. And I think that's where community comes in because
mm-hmm.
we can talk about stuff together and, oh, I did this. Oh, have you tried this? This worked for me. And that is really how I got some ideas of working, especially when the kids were home and involved and in the discipline. Randy and I were complete opposite ends of the spectrum when it came to discipline.
Wow, that's got
to
be a little difficult to try to,
yeah. Randy was the good cop and I was the bad cop. And I was very black and white, and Randy was not. And Randy said, I think you're being too hard on the kid for this. That punishment does not fit the crime, you know. And he had to really bring me back down to earth because I was so angry in that moment. And so Randy is that's where Randy is really good for me in balancing that part out for me. And so, and it's hard, you know, when couples are as extreme polar opposites as Randy and I are.
Oh my goodness, so opposite. I mean, you know, she's German frugal, I'm spend. Hey, you know, what do you mean we're overdrawn? We still have checks in our checkbook, you know? Hey, you know, and
I guess that's where the big C word comes in, the commitment, right? And then, you know, I mean, the commitment. I think to be so committed, right, and make it work.
What's the word? I mean, you celebrate the differences because the differences are really what are going to grow you. You know, if you allow them to, they tend to tick you off at first, and so you kind of don't want to deal with them. Now you got all these emotionally charged topics that you're swirling around that are not being dealt with, and that's how a marriage disintegrates because, you know, you don't know how to communicate these emotionally charged topics, and this stuff is spinning around and just literally corroding your desire to be with this person. And instead, you know, if you can take these one at a time and go, okay, let's use our skills in communication here and let's talk these things through, whether it's money, kids, in-laws. I just realized last night, you know, Monica, when she mentions good cop, bad cop, and, you know, our kids used to know, Monica would say no, and they'd come to me, and I'd let them do something, right? I mean, that was bad, and that was, you know, young parents not knowing what the heck you're doing. That, you know, we learned that you need to be on the
same
page.
But it's real. It's very real. I mean, it's real.
Very real life.
You know, it's real.
So
it's real life.
I realized last night with our puppy training, you know, she's a little puppy.
Aww.
She jumps up. She wants to jump up on the furniture. Monica, all she has to do now is look at the dog, and it will just sit. She is pack leader, And that came from like the first few times just looking at the dog and going, "No, get down." And now the dog doesn't even have to hear her. It'll sit when she looks at him. And then it'll come over to me and like, "Is it okay to party? I'm going to jump up on you." Okay.
It's so funny.
And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, we're doing with this puppy what we did with our kids." Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
We just had that conversation last night of just being consistent with this puppy, because it is like having a baby all over again. I'm like, "Oh my goodness, what have we done here?" And, you know, she is just the cutest little thing, but I want, and we had somebody come over yesterday, and I told Randy, I want our dog to have manners when people come over, you know?
Right.
And so we need to, once again, get on the same page. And so we talked about, you know, different types of discipline to give her, or how are we going to teach her all this? So, you know, we ended up kind of laughing about it after the fact. But we, you know, did come to a consensus that this is what we wanted, you know, for the puppy and for our home. So we were kind of laughing about it then. Of course, when we were doing it with our children, we weren't laughing. But, you know,
it's funny how all the years in the practice now you can, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, and I realized it was for me, and here's where it comes in. It was a learning experience. And here I am, you know, we've been through all this marriage communication stuff, and I'm 60 years old, and I realized I'm still doing what I did, and I can learn from Monica. And literally, I want that same response from the dog that she has, which I can just look at her, and she'll not jump up, you know. And so I learned from Monica there, and I was willing to learn and, you know, say, "Wow, I'm blowing it by you know, letting the dog do that." Anyway, just to kind of
amazing.
Talk about the differences, and I mean the differences in humans, and
but the commitment makes a big deal. Just like you get a dog, you know, it could be a 15-year commitment, and you're committed. You know, some people give them away after they can't do it, and it's like, no, you can't do that. Just like with marriages, it's a commitment. You know, that you're committed. I mean, I'm sure there's certain things that are that won't work out in certain marriages that can't, but many should and do. But it takes that big C word, doesn't it? That commitment. And and God, with God, it's amazing with the scriptures in the Bible and with the God, how it all works. And you know, if we just dig into it and read, and then it's just, life is just such a blessing. It's just such a, I was at the gym a week ago, and a woman was talking about, she had her baby, and then somebody took the baby in the other room, and then she was saying, "Oh, you know, I've got to take this time before I get home, because then my husband's going to not be able to handle it, and whatever, you know, just different things," really young, and I was talking to her. I said, "Well, you know, men, they don't talk like we talk." And she said, yeah. She said they had gone to a convention. And she said the man was telling a joke, and he was saying to everybody, "But it's true." He said, "Okay, women will be like, what are you thinking about? You know, because we're always thinking about something." And the man said, nothing at all.
I got nothing.
And it's
I got nothing.
Men really can do that easier. I have to focus on meditating or pray to God, say, clear my mind, you know, when I go swimming or something, just let me rest and just take all those thoughts out of my head type of thing. I have to focus on that, if that makes sense. But then men can easily say, "No, I'm not thinking of anything," right? Is it? I mean, that's very different wiring. Very different wiring.
We got nothing, you know?
Yeah.
If
you really think, and then you're going to be bugged, like, "Oh my gosh, they're thinking it," and then somebody could be, you know, getting themselves upset for no reason, you know, because awareness is so key too, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah, it's and you're right. I mean, Tim Hawkins does a thing about, you know, about women and, you know, and men thinking and not thinking, and he does this whole thing about, "I got nothing right now. I'll let you know when I got something. But right now, I'm just there's nothing. There's just two squirrels playing tennis up there." You know? And guys do kind of get in those zones, you know, and that's
just like,
go
"Forget
to a whole
it. Okay, I'll do it myself. Forget it."
Yeah.
Now I know.
Goes to a whole conversation about, you know, the superiority, frankly, I think, of women on a lot of levels. I mean, we can learn from you guys, and you can learn from us. It's that's what it's supposed to be. And
it's a two-way street, it really is.
When you submit
to
one
another. Forgiveness forgiveness is huge, isn't it? They're saying, like, you know, with we if we don't forgive, and we all end up having, you know, I'm frustrated with this or this, but if we could just learn to constantly every day forgive, you know, forgive that, forgive every, you know, forgive. You know, people might blow the horn in the car, and you're just like, well, I don't get aggravated because it's just hurting me. But I hear people get aggravated and say, you know, this person did this. And it's just, if we could just try to, it's hard, easier said than done. You know, like we go through some tragedies that are hard to forgive some people. But it seems like that's a biggie, isn't it?
It is a biggie. And forgiveness is not easy sometimes, but it is well worth the process of going through it if you, you know, stick it out. That's all I know, you know, from my own personal experience. So what it did for me, forgiveness wasn't about Randy. It really is God's gift to me to start the healing process is what forgiveness is. That's how I look at it.
It's so true, though. It is, because otherwise we've got the boomerang and it's hurting us, and it really can physically hurt us too. It's just amazing how much we put. It's amazing when I look at life and I look at my age, and I mean, Rand, you know, we were doing this show. We started this show. Remember? And my brother died the next week. It was like, oh my gosh, of all things. I mean, we're at the end of the show, so I won't go there right now. But. It was like we did one show, and I remember my brother going, how was the show? And I said, it was good. We were kind of practicing. I love it. And then the next week, he died. And it was like, oh, my God. And it took me 4 years of grieving nonstop. And I still haven't totally forgiven the people that did what they did to him. But I have forgiven in the point that you have to, you know, you have to let it go. You have to be able to live, because what it does is it can destroy your body to the point of diseases, illnesses.
Yeah.
All kinds of things, and it's real. I'm like, whoa, you know, it's more real than you would ever think, and I've lived it. And so I think about that. Is it really, you know, we really should just, and a lot of people day-to-day that people get upset with, really, when someone else is upset, usually it has nothing to do with you. You know, if it's a stranger or a friend even, or just different things have nothing to do with the person who they think they're upset with. It's just interesting when you get into all of it, isn't it? But forgiveness, be able to go, forget, I'm not, let me just forgive, let me forgive. It's just makes it a lot easier, doesn't it?
Monica was, and we, again, as you said, we're getting to the end of the show, but, you know, part of our story, and again, we can definitely send you the ebook version if you want to. Again,
love
it. Tell you at the end. But part of our story is, you know, that I had an affair, and Monica, her journey of forgiving me through that is something that I love it when she says, because women will ask her, you know, how do you do it? How do you forgive? And Monica said, there's no real, I mean, you go ahead and share, honey, but there's no real like set time. You struggled for months and really over a year, I guess.
That was years and years ago, right? For the
Forgiveness. Forgiveness is a process. There's no timetable, and so usually when we're talking to a couple, and that the guy asks, you know, a guy says, you know what, I've asked for her forgiveness for what I did, and she is just holding it over my head, and she keeps using it against me. And the guy is very quick to, well, I've asked for forgiveness, let's move on. But that is not how a woman's makeup is made up.
Oh, I see.
She really has to go through that process, and she walks through it again and again and again. And I could not have forgiven Randy had I not had people in my life to help walk me through. There's no way. I had a counselor and I had a support group, and those ladies in that support group that I went to every week for 2 years, every week, they were the ones that loved me through being able to forgive Randy, taking my hand. We cried together, we laughed together, and that was an amazing part of my journey that was totally unexpected for me. Because, you know, when you go through something like that, you want to hide. You want to curl up on your bed, and you don't want to go out in the world. And these ladies just helped me really through that time in my life.
Wow.
And
that
we
is
need
a
each other.
Group, was it other women that were going through the same thing pretty much?
Yes.
It was a similar support group?
Yes. They were either going through it at that moment like I was, or they'd already been through it and they didn't know how to keep moving forward. And so that's
mm-hmm.
what this group was about, just helping each other and being with each other, supporting each other on our own journeys. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We need each other. That's the goal. That's probably the takeaway. And whatever you're going through, we need to experience God's love in each other. And that helps us trust God more, trust people more, get through heartache, get through hurt. We need
not
safe.
Just to go close the door, hide yourself, hide life, maybe get into drugs, drinking, or other ways to lessen the pain, right?
Right.
It's important to get engaged. It's hard to do it. You know, I know the grief. I want to go. And it took me 4 years. I miss my brother till forever, and I hope till I see him again. You know, I miss him all the time, but I was really almost debilitated, even though I kept everything going, the business was going. I just bawled and bawled and bawled and bawled and bawled. And I was, it's some things just take time. You know, there's a certain thing that processing of time, but I think also awareness, you know, awareness tells us a lot. When we can have tools, like you're talking about with the marriage counseling and tools and awareness, I didn't know I had abandonment issues until I was told that like in my 40s, and I went, really? Why didn't any counselor tell me that before? I've been going to counseling for many, many years off and there, and no one ever told me that. Once I was told that, it was like, wow, the light bulb went off, and I was able to deal with it better. Does that make, you know, from childhood issues? It was like, wow, like people, you know, it's the tools and thing, you know, it's just amazing how almost like you can't see the forest from the trees, but everyone else can kind of see it. Well, everyone else isn't living your journey, and I don't think everyone else is supposed to, but they still give us that support and the tools, right? It's just amazing.
Right.
And, you know, for me, I always say if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be here, and I don't mean created from God. I just mean, you know, through my journey, because God lifts me up all the time, and I always pray and trust, but it's just, for some reason, it seems like, you know, a lot of people that have the desire to serve, because I never could understand when people do not have the desire to serve. I just didn't get it. And now I'm getting older. Of course, some things make more sense, right? But it seems like a lot of people mm-hmm. have been through quite a lot, too. You know, when they maybe it's because we know, too, we want to give back and teach and see. We made it so that we can show people how to make it. I don't know. I don't know if I'm putting it the right way.
No, you go through what you go through to help other people. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's the goal. It's not about us. You know, it's about, you know, how we can, be other oriented and help people with what we've learned. And just like you do on the real estate side with your consulting and your expertise, you know, you've got the authority and the track record for people who want to, you know, succeed in real estate. You are, you are the person really to learn from. And I think that's the same in any situation where, you know, I think Tony Robbins said it once too about, you know, the idea of see somebody who, you know, is doing what you want to do and you know, copy them. You know, in other words,
and learning how to deal through all the other issues, you know, because life is life, right?
Yeah.
And it's all in the, wow, this has been so much fun. I love it. You two are amazing, and you just still have so much energy and still serving and moving on, and it's just amazing. I know already, Lighthouse Assembly of God Church, I can see that growing by leaps and I can just see it. I can visualize it. And,
we're excited about it. And, you know, it's God's thing. It's God's church, so we just need to relax in his easy yoke and let him do what he does and, you know, offer our gifts, you know, however they fit in, and he'll use them. And, you know, we're excited about loving on some people, you know, in this small mountain town and, finishing well. You know, we've got a few years left and looking forward to being on the show with you, you know, definitely.
I love it. And we've got crazy kids. We got so many things are going on that can, and with the internet and the way that the network and the years of seeds and people, and it just, it just gives me the chills because it's like, wow. And then God's behind it. So you're like, wow, this is like, no-brainer, right? I mean, it's just so amazing to me. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
And so thank you for coming on. We're right at that end just about. And then you always used to say to me, you don't have to turn it off at the end. Because remember, I would just go, okay, we've got, you all told me that with the studio that we use, the Blog Talk, that you don't have to close because we're at the end and I'm always like rushing people off at the end. So,
it goes over, I think, but if we want to. But, it's the hour. The hour flew by again. It's the fastest hour in radio.
Of course. Sending you hugs. Monica, I'm hugging you. You're such a, you're awesome. And your puppy, I think it's just so adorable. What's your puppy's name?
Her name is Maddie.
Maddie, okay.
Maddie.
Aw, I saw that little video on the cell phone. So adorable.
Yeah. Should be Addie because she's ADD, but, you know, Maddie.
But that's just because she's a baby. She'll calm down.
Yeah,
you
she will.
Don't want her
to
calm down too much.
She will.
Yeah.
Well, it was great to talk to you again, Natalie. This was awesome.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody. And we'll talk soon, and I'll talk to you all next week, too. And to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.